This podcast is sponsored by Ball in Maidstone, your brand new luxury sports and gaming bar with American pool, table tennis, beer pong, live sports, delicious food, and bottomless brunches. Kent Online News.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.
Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Friday, January the 28th, and we're starting today with a bit of confusion over whether or not a planned rise in national insurance will go ahead in April. There are calls for the hike to be scrapped because of fears it'll force inflation up even further, and that will increase prices in shops even more. It's also being reported the Prime Minister could delay the move to try and win back support. But one government minister insists the tax will go up as planned because it's been signed off by MPs. So all a bit of a muddle then, and very unclear as to what exactly is going to happen. Will we end up having to pay more? And indeed, can we afford it? Well, this was the topic of conversation on The Lowdown on our Facebook Live last night. Tudor Price is from the Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce. He was chatting to Leisha and doesn't reckon it'll be good for businesses or their staff.
No one likes to pay more tax. But in this situation, I think it's the timing is not good. I think we recognise that, you know, a lot of money's been spent and the coffers need to be sort of refilled, and that's understandable. But we could do with a delay on this because, of course, it's not just the employee that's paying 1.25. The employer has a contribution to make as well on top of what they take from the employee and pass on to the taxman. So this is a hit on top of that. Plus, we're under pressure from wages at the moment. Most employers are having to look at the cost of inflation, what they're paying their staff, and therefore sort of trying to make that up to someone, try and help them sort of meet the cost of living. So you've got a cost of living increase on wages. You've also then got competitive environments where staff are being sort of tempted away. So you're having to maybe up your salary bill to try and make sure you retain staff. Plus, of course, you've got all the issues of the pandemic and some of the disruption that's caused supply chain. And now there's going to be another tax in April. Not right now. Do you know, that'd be the worst possible thing we could do? A bit of a delay. Just, you know, we're in the very, very fragile stage of recovery post-pandemic. I understand the need for it, but right now is just not good timing.
Peter Taylor-Gooby is a trustee at Canterbury Food Bank and joined the panel of experts.
I think this is the wrong tax, and it's the wrong at the wrong time. Just remember, the national insurance increase is an emergency tax for 1 year. After a year, it changes into a tax that will be directed to social care. And we urgently need more money in social care, but we urgently need more money in all sorts of areas. And what we have to do is think carefully about the whole tax system. I would be keen on extra taxation on very wealthy people. They're the group that's done best in the last 10 years. They've got the broadest shoulders. They should pay something back. What we've been seeing, well, really over the whole period of the pandemic, has been that there are more and more people who would normally just about get by on low pay. And increasingly, work's been so disrupted through the pandemic that they're coming to us. But what we're noticing now is that we've actually got more people coming to us than we've ever had before. We gave out 11,000 meals, roughly, in December. That's the highest level we've ever had. And there seems no end to it. More and more people come. And we've had benefit cuts. £20 a week last October, and then we've got benefit freeze on universal credit with a very low increase next year. Pensions are not going up fast enough to keep pace with food prices and fuel prices. Then we've got all the cost of living hikes coming along. And this is an extra tax that's going to hit people on low earnings.
You can still watch that episode in full by heading to our Facebook page, where you can still leave a comment as well. We will, of course, keep you updated with any further developments. And you can get the latest national news by heading to that section of Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a Snodland woman who subjected her neighbours to threats and abuse on a daily basis has been jailed for a year. 57-year-old Carol Ann Cousins from St Benedict Road has also been banned from walking past one of her victims' homes. A court heard she has an alcohol dependency problem and had previously breached an order to stay away from a neighbour. A Maidstone man's been jailed for 9 months following a high-speed police chase in Cambridgeshire. The 27-year-old tried to get away from officers who were called to reports of hare coursing on Boxing Day. He forced other cars off the road and reached speeds of up to 90 miles per hour before being arrested. The Home Office has admitted unlawfully confiscating the phones of asylum seekers who've crossed the Channel to Kent. Three men from Iraq and Iran have brought a case to the High Court, claiming there was a secret blanket policy to seize mobiles from those arriving on small boats and download the data from them. Well, officials are also accused of bullying people into handing over their PIN numbers, and the case is continuing. Now, if you've driven on the A249 near Sittingbourne recently, chances are you've probably noticed the huge amount of work being done to change the layout of the Stockby roundabout. Certainly not hard to miss the huge amount of trees that have come down. Well, residents say the £92 million project is causing gridlock on rural roads. In fact, part of the A249 is due to be shut again this weekend so utility pipes can be moved. Although last weekend's closure was called off at the last minute because of health and safety concerns, causing even further delays and a fair bit of confusion. Well, Gordon Henderson is the MP for Sittingbourne and Sheppey. He's been speaking to Tom from our colleagues at KMTV.
For as long as I've been Member of Parliament and beyond, there have been huge problems on the A249 on the stretch leading up to the Stockby roundabout, and horrendous congestion all the time, not just at peak rush hour times, all day there's problems. And I've been pushing for years to get something done, and I'm delighted that now work has started on putting a flyover over that roundabout, which will greatly help to improve the situation on the A249 generally, and that stretch of it in particular. And what I would say to those people who have been inconvenienced at the moment, and I know there are some of them have been inconvenienced, there is no gain without pain on these things. And unfortunately, you know, we've been through a similar exercise some years ago when they built the Sheppey Crossing, and for a couple of years there were huge problems getting on and off the Isle of Sheppey. But once it's completed, is far better, and that's what's going to happen with the Stockby roundabout.
Once it gets completed, so we're talking winter 2024, that's what the signs say on the roundabout. What would be the advantages for the local area?
Well, it will help the traffic flow, because one of the problems at the Stockby roundabout are the traffic lights there, and if we can increase the flow of traffic, the north-south flow from Sittingbourne to Maidstone and back again, that will remove a lot of the traffic actually at that roundabout. And I would hope will enable Highways England to remove the traffic lights, because there won't be any need for it.
Well, this weekend, the A249 is going to be closed northbound between the Stockbury and Key Street roundabouts, and the overall work is due to be completed in the winter of 2024. And staying with some roadworks, because a year's worth are underway to move the Operation Brock concrete barrier on the M20. Speed and lane restrictions will come into force tonight as it's relocated from the hard shoulder to the central reservation, and other upgrade work is done at the same time. So from 8 tonight until 6 tomorrow morning, the motorway will be closed in both directions between Junction 9 for Ashford and 8 for Leeds Castle. Details of the diversion route for that one are at Kent Online. And if you are heading out onto the roads this weekend, you'll need to know that changes to the highway code come into force. From tomorrow, if drivers are turning into a junction and a pedestrian is waiting to cross the road, it's the vehicle that has to give way. Meantime, cyclists can now ride in the centre of a lane to make themselves more visible. Well, Marcel Payne is a driving instructor in Maidstone.
Having looked through the changes to the rules, it is just formalising basic courtesy on the roads. It's stuff that we would teach anyway with regards to giving priority to cyclists, making sure that more vulnerable road users are looked after. I can't see any major change. As I say, it literally is just formalising it. It's putting it down in writing. But good drivers would be following these rules for years and years and years anyway. And it's certainly what we would teach. We're kind of like kept in the dark as driving instructors. A personal concern of mine is when we take pupils to a test, how are they going to be marked with the new highway code changes? We've virtually received no communication from our governing body, the DVSA, and it would be nice to get some clarification on that as well.
The Kent Online Podcast. With Ballin Maidstone.
Health bosses are looking at alternative uses for a Nightingale Surge Hub, which is being built at the William Harvey Hospital in Ashford. The 100-bed facility is nearly finished and was originally put up for COVID patients, but it's not expected to be needed. The Kent and Medway Clinical Commissioning Group say the temporary building could be used for something else instead. Meantime, latest figures show the number of people in hospital with COVID in Kent is continuing to drop, but cases are rising. 338 patients were being treated on Tuesday, down from 382 the previous week. More than 17,000 people tested positive in the 7 days to last Saturday, and infection rates are going up in nearly every part of the county. A man claims to have been verbally abused, mocked and nearly run down by a Domino's delivery driver in Ashford. He says he struggled to get out of the Pilgrim's Hospice charity shop after the driver blocked the door with his car. After taking a picture, he claims he was sworn and laughed at. Domino's say they're investigating the allegations. Kent Strictly winner Rose Ayling Ellis is backing calls for British Sign Language to be a legally recognised language. A new bill, which has the government support, has been discussed in the Commons today and could see sign language used during public service announcements. Well, Rose, who grew up in Hythe, became the first deaf contestant on The Dancing Show and has brought the campaign into the spotlight. A group of volunteers in Gravesham are working with the Home Office to find a refugee family that could relocate to the area to start a new life. The Refugee Welcome Group are hoping to encourage a local landlord to make a 3 or 4 bedroom home available to rent at local authority rates. They also need to raise £12,000 to provide the family with long-term support. We've been chatting to Angus Barry, who heads up the volunteers, and says there are many reasons that people may need help and should move here.
So resettlement involves a country such as the UK or many other countries in the world, identifying people who are still in really vulnerable circumstances, who are in need of refuge. So, for example, a family who has fled the Syrian civil war and is still in a refugee camp, but still has vulnerabilities and still is under maybe threats to their physical well-being, and maybe they've got complex medical conditions which can't be met there. All kinds of different reasons that people are still in danger.
Would you be able to tell me sort of exactly, you know, where the refugees you help the family will go with the money that you're trying to raise to help resettle them? What exactly, you know, would they stay in Gravesham? Where would they go?
They would stay in Gravesham. We would find them accommodation for the first 2 years, but that's paid through actual local housing allowance. So the money would be things for translators, English lessons, furnishing the house. We've got some space in our budget for providing training for people finding a new occupation so that they can move into work.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, you know, what you said, because I think lots of people would look at this on the surface and think, you're just going to, you know, get this family and place them in the middle of Gravesham and leave them to it. But it's really about getting them involved in the community and making sure that they can make this a long-term position for them, isn't it?
Exactly. So resettlement can be a really powerful thing, and people can make, you know, have a new life in security and safety. But there's a lot of work to be done in terms of supporting them do that. But they might have come from quite traumatic circumstances. They probably have, you know, there's a huge culture shock usually in terms of getting to know, you know, everything from whether to shop at Waitrose or Asda. What difference is there? Own brand versus not own brand. You know, our group will take them around on their first shopping trips, take them to job centres, explain what universal credit is. I mean, if you watch, you could think about, you know, the last thing you did before watching this video, and then think about if you had no experience of English society before that, what would you need explained to you and help through that process? So I guess over a year, we'll try and help them become more independent and integrated, you know, so they've got control over their lives, but the support to understand how to thrive in our community.
As part of the national programme, so far around 450 refugees have been welcomed to the country.
Kent Online reports.
Controversial plans to build 12 beach huts near Whitstable have been scrapped. There was a massive public backlash over the council's idea to put them along the slopes of Marine Crescent in Tankerton. Residents were worried it would have spoiled a beautiful part of the seafront. Elsewhere, the next stage of a controversial seafront development near Folkestone has been given the green light. 150 homes and a leisure centre are due to be built at Prince's Parade in Hythe. Applications to put in stormwater drains and an electrical substation have been approved, despite residents' concerns about contamination and spiralling costs. Swale Borough Council has been recognised as having the second best plan to tackle climate change in the country. They've been given a score of 64% by Climate Emergency UK. Bosses say they're working hard to become carbon neutral by 2025 by making the switch to electric vehicles, planting thousands of trees and getting rid of single-use plastic. Sagala's been telling our sister radio station KMFM that the next 12 months are going to be super busy. He was on the hit list last night with Numi, talking about new single Melody and his upcoming album.
It feels like ages since I've put a song out. I collabed with Rita Ora last year, but I've been just so keen to get more music out, and I've got so much planned for this year, so it's going to be a very busy one for me.
Oh, it's the start of an exciting year. Tell us a little bit about the song.
Yeah, so the song's called Melody. I made it with a bunch of very close friends and fellow songwriters, and a bunch of people basically that we've all kind of like grown up in the same studio block the last sort of 8 or 9 years, and we've never put a song out together, so we all got together, made Melody, and the girl singing it is called Ida. She's from Norway. She's an incredible vocalist. I just had to keep her on the record because it was just, her voice was just too good to replace. So
if you missed their chat, you can listen to the full thing at kmfm.co.uk. And finally today, it seems we could have found the smartest three-year-old in Kent. Freddie Alsey from Whitstable can already do his times tables, name the planets in order, pinpoint countries on a globe and read books. Well, staff at his school have even suggested he takes an IQ test after noticing him teaching other pupils the alphabet. We've been to meet Freddie and his mum, Rachel.
Of the planets from the sun.
Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto.
Well done, very good. Once he started speaking, he just went from there. He learnt the numbers first, and then he went to the alphabet. He started learning times tables, and then now he's just starting reading books, picking them up himself and reading them.
Is it a ball? It wasn't a ball.
It wasn't a ball.
They were asking me, it was a ball.
And it wasn't, was it?
Yeah. Mum, Pat's put the lids back on the tabs.
He actually made friends with another little boy because he knew the alphabet, so he was teaching another little boy.
Reggie!
They get on really well with him at nursery. And they've recently sent me a link to the Mensa website to see if he can be assessed for high IQ. Can you show me where England is? Well done. And whereabouts is Russia? Well done. And where is China? Well done. And what about the North Pole? I was trying to find like clubs or sort of things he can do outside of the home to make it more challenging for him, or do it in a different environment at least to... to sort of just broaden his knowledge, really.
Yeah. And do the two. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 18, 20.
Just for info, the youngest UK member of Mensa is 3-year-old Cashy Quest from Wales, who was only 2 when tested and recorded an IQ of 146. The average is just 98.
Kent Online Sport.
Football and Gillingham welcome promotion chasing Oxford United to Priestfield this weekend. The Jewels picked up a point from a 0-0 draw against Shrewsbury Town on Tuesday night, but we'll be hoping for all three tomorrow. Here's caretaker manager Steve Lovell.
I think every game is a challenge. I think when you're on the run that we're on, it's a tough situation to get out of. I've been in it a number of times as a player, and I know what it's like. But when you get that first win, it does give everybody a boost. Or if you get a good performance, or as a forward, you score a couple of goals, it can half lift your the morale and your confidence. So that's something that we've got to really get on board very, very quickly, because we are, as you say, running out of games and running out of time, and we do need to get points on the board, and we all know that. But the performances, if the performances improve, then you've got more chance of getting them results. And I think we're getting there defensively. On Tuesday, we were sound. We didn't give them anything. The only thing that was missing, really, was us sticking the ball in the back of the net. And, you know, they didn't cause us many problems on Tuesday at all, which was a pleasing factor for us.
Gillingham are currently one place off the bottom of the League One table. Kick-off tomorrow is at 3:00, and you can, of course, follow the match action at Kent Online. Meantime, striker John Akindi has left the club. The 32-year-old has signed for Colchester United in League Two. He made 70 appearances for the Jewels and scored 9 goals after joining in January 2020. And in cricket, Kent's Tammy Beaumont only managed 5 runs for England in the first innings of their Ashes test overnight. They finished day 2 on 235 for 8 in Canberra, with captain Heather Knight scoring more than half of those runs. Australia are ahead by 102 and are also winning the multi-format series 4-2 on points. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. Plus, you can get access to the ad-free Kent Online premium site by subscribing. Just head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe. And whilst you're on the website today, you can read the latest review by our secret drinker, who's been to the Prince Albert Pub in Whitstable. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. I'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.
This podcast is sponsored by Ball in Maidstone, your brand new luxury sports and gaming bar with American pool, table tennis, beer pong, live sports, delicious food and bottomless brunches.